It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby! It is the Fantasy Feast presented by DraftKings, of course. We are in, by the way, with the July Best Ball Draft. I took Derrick Henry at 4. I had some debate between Henry, Kamara, but maybe I'll hear from Joe momentarily what he thinks. I will say this, get in on the August best ball. Best ball is the best ball. That's why it's called best ball. All you have to do is take advantage of any of the sponsors at rostucker.com and then send it to me, ross@rostucker.com. Because we need you guys. And really, we want you guys. I can't wait to go head-to-head. Last week, we announced Joe Silva and Brent Hunt. This week, Sean Maloney. Sean went ahead and he signed up and got new earbuds from Raycon. He got the home try-on kit from Warby Parker. Well done, Sean. John Ginter got Bombas socks. I love it. I don't care what you get. Just get something. Check me out on social media at Ross Tucker NFL, at Ross Tucker Pod. Cannot wait to go against you guys in the August best ball. And by the way, you can go against Joe and I in the season-long Fantrax League, fantrax.com/Ross, that I've been talking about on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. The aforementioned Joe Dolan, of course, from fantasypoints.com. If you're not signed up for fantasypoints.com using the code 21feast, what are we even doing here? Well, I mean, what are we even doing? Check out Joe on social media at FG_Dolan. Joe, it's August. It's drafting season. We actually have training camp reports and preseason games. People are going nuts about fantasy football right now.
And Ross, there is we're seeing the subscriptions roll in, but I can't believe how many people are not taking advantage of the promo code. Like, I mean, hey, look, no skin off my back, you know? Hey, you want to give us more money? That's more power to you. But 21 Feast gets you a discount code. I mean, come on. Like, we're seeing the subs roll in. August is a huge month. Every year in July, we're like, well, you know, get a little, you own a business, you're like, well, you know, and then August, the clock turns to August, and then the subscriptions are just rolling in constantly. Ross, I can't believe anybody would not take advantage right now. We've got your offensive line tiers up on the website. We've got the franchise focus series. We've got the fantasy points generator, which is our in-house draft assist tool. I can't even begin to describe. And by the way, nothing I mentioned even includes our DFS embedding package. Like, I know I try not to put the hard sell on here, Ross. This is our podcast where we can just talk analysis. But if you're not using that code 21feast and signing up to the website right now, I think you're making a mistake. I really do.
Totally agree. 21feast gets you that discount. Today's a big day, Joe, because we are starting Tears of Dolan. This was popularized years ago with Tears of Evan Silva. But now our guy, and we love him, is Joe Dolan. And our guy, Scott Sheriff, who I think is still part of Carrie Underwood's band. I got to check on that. Scott, let me know.
Yeah, and by the way, Scott, if you ever come to Greenville, South Carolina, my wife is a big Carrie Underwood fan. I'm just throwing that out there, Ross.
When she came to Hershey, my wife and I got to meet her because of Scott.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
It's Greenville, South Carolina. We got the Bon Secours Wellness Arena here in Greenville. We got some good big time acts coming. So just throwing that out there.
All right. Everybody just enjoy. And Brian didn't want to do this. Brian wanted to say we should retire it. What a loser.
Will I win my league?
Do, do, do.
If I'm following
Joe Dolan.
Am I drafting Z?
Maybe. He's in better shape this year.
If I'm following
Joe Dolan.
I'm at the turn. sticks to burn. But I know I won't go wrong with tears of
Joe Dolan. Ah, yes, I love it, Joe. I mean, what a mashup, or whatever they call that, with Scott Sheriff, who, by the way, has a really nice voice, Scott. Really nice voice. That was amazing. All right, we're getting into the tiers, Joe, and everybody has rankings. Everybody and their brother has rankings. I feel like we need to tell them every week, every time this time of year, why the tiers are important.
Well, it's the easiest way for me to kind of get a point across. One of the things that John Hansen has always said, that he always taught me, was don't be a ranking slave. And what he meant by that was, when he says that, just because somebody on a projection sheet is RB5 doesn't mean that, like, you should assume 100% of the time RB5 is going to be better than RB6. And that's not even accounting for things like injury and things that happen all year. You know, obviously Christian McCaffrey going down last year, that's something you couldn't predict. But what tiers are is it provides you a really a baseline of where you should be kind of looking at players and comparing them, and kind of, even though you might prefer somebody within a tier, giving yourself like an out, like saying, all right, these are the guys who I think can be the number one running back on my team. And if I get one of those guys, I'll be ultimately happy. Now, tiers, I think, are much more important if I'm doing like a salary cap or an auction draft. I have an auction draft plan up at fantasypoints.com that really breaks that entire thing down. But even in a snake draft, these things are going to help you. And let me just throw an example to you, since, Ross, you and I are talking best ball. So in best ball leagues, most people are going to do more than one. Now, maybe, like, I do them all off season as soon as the draft is over, so I'm going to end up being in 100+. But here's the point where I'm getting at when it comes to tiers. Let's just say I draw the 7th pick in 10 consecutive best ball drafts, all on the same platform. And in all 10 of those drafts, I have a choice between Aaron Jones and Saquon Barkley. I am not, because I have them in the same tier, and we'll get into those tiers, I am not going to draft personally Aaron Jones over Saquon Barkley in all 10 of those drafts, even if I have him ranked higher on my projections. Why is that the case? Because within the same tier, we're not that smart, Ross. I like to think we can figure some things out, but we are not so precise where we can definitively say the difference between RB6 and RB7 is so significant that you should be making the same pick 10 times out of 10. So if a guy is in the same tier, I don't think I'm smart enough to deduce which of these guys is certainly better than the next. Now, if I had the choice between Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones 10 times out of 10, I'm taking Cook 9 times, 10 times out of 10, because I have him significantly higher in terms of tiers. But within the same tier, I am going to mix and match, because I think these guys are so similar that we can't all of a sudden just say, oh, just because this guy's ranked 7th and this guy's ranked 8th, that the 7th guy is the guy you should draft every single time if they're in the same tier. That's the importance of tier. That's the best way for me to illustrate it. And I think that's a really important thing, especially if you're just getting into fantasy, to understanding, putting your own tiers together. You might not agree with my tiers, that's fine. Put your own tiers together and say, look, for me to execute my strategy, I got to get one guy here, I got to get two guys from here. And I think that's the best way to put a team together.
All right. So for all these tiers, you know, I don't think we need to talk about every guy, Joe. We just need to, there might be questions. So your elite tier is only two guys, Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook. Tier one is Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, and Zeke Elliott. So what's the difference between elite and tier one in your mind? What's the difference between Cook and Kamara? Just volume?
So it's just volume. And I think Dalvin Cook. Now, Alvin Kamara, I'm not putting him in that tier yet, because I have a lot of questions about what New Orleans offense is going to look like. I would think with the Michael Thomas injury, it's going to run through Kamara. But there are some big questions about that offense. And in terms of carries, Alvin Kamara, he gets the passing down work, but he just doesn't get the volume of carries that Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey get. Like, so that's going to put him in a tier lower than Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey, who are the consensus top two players in all of fantasy this year. Derrick Henry doesn't get the passing down work. Now, if you're not 90% of the time, if you bet against outliers in fantasy football, you're probably going to win. Derrick Henry is a top five fantasy pick because he's been an outlier, but he still doesn't get the passing down work, which is why he's in that tier one below the elite tier for me. And Ezekiel Elliott is a guy who in the past was in that elite tier. He's coming off a rough season. Dak Prescott is still dinged up. I know Zeke's in much better shape. You talked about that, Ross, while you were voicing over the song there. But there are still some questions with Ezekiel Elliott that have him falling below that elite tier for me. So there's some questions with those guys that I just don't have about the top two guys. Now, McCaffrey and Cook, those have guys who have had injury problems. McCaffrey last year, Cook throughout his career. But when they're on the field, these two guys are just heads and shoulders above the rest of the field.
I made a mistake taking Henry over Kamara, didn't I? I was debating back and forth. Here's the thing,
I was doing it all season, though, Ross.
But I have major concerns about Henry's workload the last 2 years.
Yeah,
major concerns. I'm already regretting the whole best ball. August best ball,
yeah,
so I can dominate you in the August best ball, because the July best ball is stupid and I already blew it.
No, I don't think you blew it. I was taking Henry over Kamara all off season. Now I'm starting to diversify a little bit. I'll pepper in some, because I had the third and fourth pick like a metric ton of times, no matter what platform I was on. So I was getting a ton of Henry, and now I'm mixing it up with Kamara and Elliott. But again, these are guys in the same tier. So let's illustrate tiers in another way. I'm not going to argue with you if you're like, well, I like Zeke better than Derrick Henry. All right, well, I have them in the same tier. So, like, I view that argument as a valid one. So, no, I don't think you made a mistake at all. You are betting on Henry to be an outlier, but the thing is, he's been an outlier the last number of years. So maybe that's just a trend when it comes to Derrick Henry that other guys just – it's a trend that other guys just don't have.
Tier two, Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Antonio Gibson – Austin Eckler, who, by the way, Eckler went third in our DraftKings best ball draft. Somebody took Eckler real high. What's the difference between tier two and tier one?
Well, these are guys who just have less of a track record, more questions about them, maybe more competition. I will fully admit, Ross, when I sent you this list of tiers, Jonathan Taylor, I had not yet heard about the Quentin Nelson surgery, which is another blow to Jonathan Taylor. So if you want to consider maybe dropping Jonathan Taylor another tier into tier three, I'm okay with that. But Aaron Jones, look, he's been – we're talking outliers. Aaron Jones has had ridiculous touchdown volume. Now, that might just be the way the Packers operate. There's no more Jamal Williams, but A.J. Dillon is still there. So you wonder just how big a workload Aaron Jones is going to have. Saquon Barkley, it's self-evident. He's coming off the injury. How much is he going to play early in the year? How well is he going to respond to the ACL recovery? That's self-evident why he's not in the tier one or the elite tier. Antonio Gibson, I am super-duper high on this year. I think he's got the best chance to be 2016 David Johnson of anybody. And he's available in the second round. I freaking love him in the second round if I'm getting an elite wide receiver in the first round, or even if I'm going double-double and getting two running backs at the beginning of my draft. I love Antonio Gibson in the second round. I think you can make an argument for him in the first round. Eckler, I think, is like Kamara light. I'm just wondering how that new coaching staff is going to utilize him. He's an elite receiver. I think that's why he probably went third in our DraftKings best ball. It's because somebody was like, what is the difference between this guy and Alvin Kamara? He just doesn't have the track record that Alvin Kamara has. But I like, I especially like Austin Eckler in PPR leagues. That's a guy who in non-PPR, half PPR, you probably knock a little bit. But these guys have some significant upside, but just maybe they lack the track record. Maybe they have some competition behind them. Maybe there's a new coaching staff that's given me just a little tiny bit of a pause with drafting these guys over somebody like an Ezekiel Elliott or an Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, like in my head, I don't crunch the numbers like you do, but in my head, I feel like I'd rather have Aaron Jones over Zeke Elliott any day of the week.
And that's a fair question.
Yeah, I mean, what I saw from both those guys last year, Zeke looked like he was on his last leg. Jones looked awesome. So that's interesting. Speaking of tiers, by the way, you know what is an elite tier when it comes to the job search? LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs has made it easier to get the candidates worth interviewing faster, and it's free. Look, we all know how hard it is to hire these days. Create a job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 750 million people. Do any of you know anybody that's not on LinkedIn? No, you don't. So they're on it. So everybody's there. Then you focus on the ones with the skill and experience you need. It filters. It prioritizes. You win. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates worth interviewing faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/feast. That's LinkedIn.com/feast to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. That actually seemed like a pretty easy best ball winner right there to get in the best ball draft with me and Joe. Just post a job for free. Tier three, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb. Why am I blanking on Harris's first name?
Najee.
Nah, because he's new. The new guy. Wow, the disrespect of having a rookie ahead of Nick Chubb like that. Just disrespectful.
Ross, did you not listen to me? They're in the same tier. It's not really ahead or behind. I'm just putting the guys in the same tier. It's like a Venn diagram, you know? You have them in I understand. Nick Chubb, the problem is the passing game work. And Kareem Hunt has gotten a significant amount of that when he's been active at the same time as Nick Chubb. By the way, thrilled Nick Chubb got paid. That guy, for my money, when I watch him run, he might be the best in the NFL. I'm partial to Saquon Barkley, but Nick Chubb, I mean, is just a monster. So he's in this tier only because of passing game work. Joe Mixon's got the offensive line concerns and the injury concerns. Najee Harris has the offensive line concerns, and he's a rookie. I just feel like their concerns are a little bit more than the guys in the tier above them. By the way, like I said, I would move Jonathan Taylor down into this tier now, given the Carson Wentz injury and the Quentin Nelson injury. And I think you could probably compare him to maybe a version of Nick Chubb who's going to get a little bit more work. Because I just think, I don't think Nyheim Hines is as good as Kareem Hunt. So I think I viewed Jonathan Taylor as a Nick Chubb who's going to get a little bit more work. But that there is not a guy who's gotten dinged up more through no fault of his own than Jonathan Taylor these first week or so of camp.
Yeah, he is going to face some heavy boxes, especially if it's Jacob Eason, no question. Tier four is only two guys, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and J.K. Dobbins, which brings up a good point, Joe. Right now, everybody that goes to Ravens camp is raving about J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins this, J.K. Dobbins that. Going to have a huge year. How do we feel about that kind of hype, Joe?
Well, these are two second-year backs who didn't get off on the perfect foot last year. Edwards-Helaire, I think, has got more guaranteed work in the passing game, but his passing game work wasn't enough last year to sustain what I thought was going to be a very, very good floor as a receiving back. I want to see him get more of that. When it comes to Dobbins, I'm just not sure how much passing game work he's going to get, but Mark Ingram is gone. We know they're going to work in Gus Edwards. I think the touchdown upside is massive for J.K. Dobbins. The problem is you do have to bake in the fact that Lamar's going to get some of those, and so is Gus Edwards. But I'm with you, Ross. J.K. Dobbins is regularly slipping into the fourth round. I am taking him as an RB2 there. Maybe I went Kelsey, wide receiver to open my draft, kind of a zero RB type of approach. Well, then I'm taking J.K. Dobbins in the fourth round, and I'm sleeping like a baby if he's my RB1 with that kind of a build. I like him there. Edwards-Helaire, the problem with Edwards-Helaire, I remember saying this summer that I'm going to be in on him. Frankly, Ross, his ADP hasn't fallen as far as I thought it was going to. He's regularly a second round pick, rather. J.K. Dobbins at a round and a half, sometimes a round to a round and a half cheaper, in the same tier, I'd much rather have a different player in the second round, like a DeAndre Hopkins, maybe a Darren Waller, and then at a round cheaper, get J.K. Dobbins, who I have in the same tier as Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Tier five, DeAndre Swift from Philadelphia, Miles Sanders in Philadelphia, David Montgomery. No connection to Philadelphia whatsoever that I'm aware of.
The one thing that I would say here when it comes to David Montgomery is I wonder if by the end of the preseason I'll have viewed him in a tier too low. It's just with when it comes to Montgomery, it's like people just don't view him like he's not a sexy pick. But he's proven he can catch the ball. He had a great second half of the year last year. So he's the one who I think has probably got the better shot to move up of this tier. For the other two guys, new coaching staffs, competition in the backfield. DeAndre Swift, I'd love to have in the tier with Mixon, Harris, and Chubb, or even, hell, even a tier higher with the Gibsons and the Ecklers of the world. But the Jamal Williams signing is a big buzzkill for me. Anthony Lynn's comments this offseason saying he views Williams as a 1A kind of back is a big buzzkill to me. Miles Sanders, they brought in Kenny Gainwell. I've heard conflicting reports about Sanders in camp. I had somebody there who told me he looks fantastic. And then I have somebody there who says, you know what? The drops are not getting cleaned up. So there's enough questions there, given the fact that there's competition in that backfield. You know, they signed Kerryon Johnson. They still have Boston Scott. Jordan Howard's still there. That's what keeps them from being a tier above, where I view Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Dobbins as the clear-cut starters and clear-cut potential bell cows on their team. I'm not sure I view that from these guys.
Tier six, now we're getting into the guys like Chris Carson, Daryl Henderson, and Josh Jacobs. Wow, Josh. Yeah. Well, I know why Josh Jacobs is here. He never catches the ball. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
You told that story. What about the other two guys?
Chris Carson's had some injury problems, and Rashad Penny's apparently looking really good in camp. So Chris Carson's one of those guys you could maybe make an argument to be in a tier higher. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you there. And when it comes to Daryl Henderson, it's just like what we haven't seen. You know, Xavier Jones is getting some hype out of Rams camp. But I will say this, these are guys who, if they're in the fifth round, not so much Jacobs, I've really been out on Jacobs this year, but Chris Carson, Daryl Henderson, if I need a second running back in the fifth round, these guys are available and I'll take them there and I'll take them happily.
Tier seven is a pair of rookies, Travis Etienne, and Javonte Williams, who, speaking of hype, there's been a lot of Javonte Williams hype. Shermer, I saw a quote from Shermer, the OC in Denver, saying this kid just gets it.
Yeah, and the question here is at what point, if at any point this year, is either one of these guys going to be the starting running back for their own team? Because you have established good players. James Robinson more so than Melvin Gordon. I think the Broncos are a little bit down on Melvin Gordon. But I have these guys here because you might need to be patient with them. But again, we brought it up. Last year, the rookie running backs in the second half of the year had a lot of league-winning qualities. Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift. Those rookie running backs had a great second half and led you to some fantasy championships. So now I'm looking at this as saying maybe you need to be patient. Maybe James Robinson's getting 15 to 18 carries weeks 1 through 6. Maybe Melvin Gordon, they decide they're going to start him weeks 1 through 6 and see what happens. But I think in the second half of the year, these two guys, both of whom, by the way, are getting camp hype. Travis Etienne, I've seen people say he looks uncoverable. You know, everybody's getting camp hype right now. It's so hard to sift through that. But right now I view these guys as second half kind of league winners, depending on when the teams are going to hand the reins over to them, if at all.
Tier eight is an interesting one. Mike Davis, Miles Gaskin, Chase Edmonds, Damian Harris.
Okay. So Davis, Gaskin, and Edmonds are kind of grouped together of the bell cows who no one really believes they're bell cows. Like Edmonds, maybe less so because they signed James Conner. Miles Gaskin had the bell cow role last year, but nobody trusts him because he lacked draft capital. Mike Davis apparently has a bell cow potential role here in Atlanta, but nobody trusts him because he really hasn't done it before and he's on a new team. Chase Edmonds was the receiving back for Arizona last year, was the more valuable fantasy back than Kenyon Drake for much of the season, but he's never had 100 carries in the season. So these are the guys who, like, you view him as like RB, low-end RB2 flex plays. When it comes to Damian Harris, I'm putting him here because he has been the Patriot running back getting so much hype. The problem is the reports from Patriot camp right now are not like the reports at 49er camp, or Trey Lance is, I mean, they're already carving his bus for Canton at a 49er camp. But Damian Harris, if Cam Newton is not the starter, I love Damian Harris this year because of the touchdown equity. If Cam Newton is the starter with Damian Harris, and I love the player, Cam Newton, as bad as he was last year, and he was awful, he led the NFL with 12 rushing touchdowns from the quarterback position. That's not changing. Cam Newton is still really good in that area. And I also wonder, even if Mac Jones takes this job at some point, is there a goal line package for Cam Newton? Because he's still really good in that area. That knocks Damian Harris for me a bit, as much as I love the player and I love the things Bill Belichick's been saying about him.
Tier 9, we've got Michael Carter and Trey Sermon, a couple of mid-round rooks.
Yeah, so Michael Carter, I think you can make an argument should be higher because he has been the Jets' starting running back, but the one thing he lacks is draft capital. He was a fourth-round pick. Trey Sermon was a third-round pick, and there's less of a pathway for him to be an immediate impact kind of player. I think he fits this 49er offense beautifully, especially if Trey Lance – oh, there's two Treys there. How did I just figure that out? Especially if Trey Lance becomes the starting quarterback and opens up those running lanes, I view Trey Sermon as a league winner. I just don't think he's as good a bet as the rookies a couple of tiers above them, Travis Etienne and Javonte Williams.
Tier 10, to wrap it up, Raheem Mostert, A.J. Dillon, Kenyon Drake, James Robinson, Latavius Murray, James Conner, Jamal Williams, Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, Melvin Gordon, Tony Pollard. The one that jumps out to me there, Joe, is James Robinson after what he did last year.
Yeah, these are kind of your zero RB type of targets. So, for instance, let's say you draft Christian McCaffrey at number one overall in your best ball, and you just freaking load up on wide receivers, quarterback, tight end in those middle rounds. This is a strategy that Graham Barfield at our site has dubbed not zero RB, but hero RB or superhero RB, where you get one guy you feel awesome about, and then you fill out the rest of your running back group with spare parts. This is the kind of tier, if I'm doing a best ball draft, I'm getting two, maybe three of the guys in this tier and just hoping they kind of mix and match. Maybe one of them hits. Maybe there's an injury or something. You know, you see Tony Pollard here. Jamal Williams, I think, is going to get work, but if DeAndre Swift goes down, he becomes a bell cow. Leonard Fournette was a bell cow last year in the playoffs, but Ronald Jones looked better than him during the regular season. All these guys who have those kind of questions about them, but you take a shotgun approach. You try to spread it around and see maybe one of those pellets is going to hit here in the 10th round, in the tier 10.
All right. Here's my recommendation right now, okay? There's three things you can and should do. Number one, if you want to win your fantasy leagues, and if you're listening to this, I think you do, go to fantasypoints.com now and sign up and use the code 21FEAST. Then I want to destroy you. I want to embarrass you, and I want to talk trash to you in the August best ball with me and Joe. So take advantage of any of our sponsors. Send me the email, ross@rosstucker.com, and say, August best ball, you're going down, Tucker. Or if you're more of a season-long guy, as you've heard me say on the Ross Tucker podcast, fantracks.com, and you get a shot to go against me and Joe every week in your traditional redraft league, which isn't that traditional because Fantracks is crazy customizable. There will be no defense. There will be no special teams. Joe and I need to talk about what the league will be, but there won't be stupid positions I don't like. It'll just be position. We'll have another flex something. Fantracks.com. Check him out on social at @FG_Dolan. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and the College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.
A lot of times on the show, I mention DraftKings. Here's what you need to know. You got to be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. By the way, if what I was talking about included a deposit bonus, doesn't always, sometimes it does. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough, and deposit bonuses are paid out in site credit.